Well, good morning. I'm glad you're here. We got a full house. And not only in here, but we have 50 more people in our overflow room, and we have another 20 in our lobby. Amen? And I just know that pleases God. Hallelujah. So thank you for inviting people. I'm glad y'all are here, and I'm going to share a message that hopefully will impact your life in a special way, and then we'll go outside and celebrate that. We got, 15 baptisms, and I'm hoping maybe at the end of this message, if you decide to give your life to the Lord, it would be great if you got, think about it, you're getting baptized on Resurrection Sunday. I mean, it doesn't get better than that, guys, right? But anyway, today I want to talk about the resurrection. We're here to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but I want to do it maybe in a little bit different way. I want to take you on a journey of one of his disciples. Any guesses who that might be? Peter, Simon Peter. And if you know Peter's story, he started off really good, right? He was a fisherman. And Jesus came by one day and talked to him and Andrew and said, you know, follow me. I want to make you fishers of men. And so they dropped their nets and they began to follow Jesus. But if you go through their life, several years later, Peter went through some rough spots and he ended up turning his back on Jesus. But then Jesus gave him another chance to get that right. And as we look at Peter's life, usually we want to point the finger and criticize Peter for all the dumb things he said and did. But usually, if we're honest, there's a lot that we can relate to Peter with about our own lives. And the thing I love about Peter's story is it gives all of us hope that even when we've messed up, even after becoming a believer, that God forgives us, he loves us, and he always gives us a second chance. And so Peter's story is a great Easter story. I want to share that with you today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Jesus, thank you for coming into this world and being a living example of what it looks like to worship God and to follow God. Thank you for giving us a chance to follow you in that. And thank you for dying on a cross to pay the penalty for our sins so we wouldn't have to. And thank you for making a way, not just through this life, but into and throughout eternity. And so we're here to praise you and to say thank you for all you've done. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would minister to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 26. One of the things that jumped out in that video to me was the opening statement that said, as you've gotten older and you've looked back on your life, can you think of some things that you wish you would have done differently? And I think all of us would say yes, you know, more than I want to admit. And that was Peter's story. Peter started off good, but then he turned his back on Jesus and made a few choices that caused him then to live with some of the things we live with, like guilt or shame or regrets. And Jesus came to let Peter know that, you know what, it's okay. I went to the cross and I died and I rose again for all of your failures. And so I really think that instead of criticizing Peter, I'm hoping this message allows you to relate to Peter and give you hope for your journey that you're on. Amen? Now, before we look at Matthew 26, you don't need to turn here. I've got it on the screen, but I want to look back real quick at Matthew chapter 5 when Jesus first meets Peter. And in verse 18, it says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. In Luke's account, Luke adds something that Matthew didn't talk about, but it's something that's going to tie in with something I'm going to talk about in just a minute. So I want to take you to Luke's account real quick. It's Luke chapter 5. Jesus is preaching to the crowds. A crowd has gathered by the sea, the edge of the water. And Jesus sees two boats. They've been out fishing and they haven't caught anything. And Jesus gets in Peter's boat. And I don't know if, I'm thinking that it was intentional that he got in Peter's boat. But he got in Peter's boat, and here's what he said to Peter. He said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have fished all night and caught nothing. See, you're already relating. Some of you men are already relating to Peter. We fished all night, we fished all day, and have caught nothing. I want you to remember that phrase, fished all night, caught nothing. Look at your neighbor and tell him, fished all night, caught nothing. Fished all night, caught nothing. I'm going to come back to that in just a minute. Nevertheless, he goes on to say, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. Who knows it's good when you fish that you pray and have Jesus in your boat? Amen? Now, fast forward 3 years to Matthew chapter 26, and my first point today, it's a 3D message. The first D is the declaration. The declaration. Jesus is at the Last Supper with his disciples. He's washed their feet. Judas ate and ran, if you know the story. And he stays and talks to the other 11 disciples. And here's one of the things he says to them in verse 31. He said, all of you, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, talking about the resurrection, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. That's one of the dumb things Peter said. Because Jesus just said, all of you. I'm thinking if I was Jesus, like, Peter, what is it about all you didn't hear? But we've all made a declaration like that, haven't we? We've all declared, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. I'm never turning back. I'm your man. I'm your woman forever. We've always made a declaration like that when we first come to Jesus. Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you that this night, Peter, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. Now, to help us relate to Peter, right? We've all made a declaration. Lord, I love you. Lord, I want to live for you. But I can prove to you that we're just like Peter when it comes to this. And here's a question I want to ask you. Have you ever said, Lord, I'm never going to do that again? And you did it again. Raise your hand if that's true for you. I'll wait for all the hands. You young men right here, I'm waiting for you to raise your hand. Yeah, you're right here. Come on, raise your hand. Oh, no, raise it up high so everybody can see. Come on. It's like the death rate, 100%. We've all done that. And you're thinking, well, I've never denied him like Peter. I've never denied him with my words. Well, what about with your thoughts? What about with your actions? We've all declared, I won't stumble, but then we stumble. Which leads me to point number two, the denial. The denial. If you fast forward to verse 69, now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee, but he denied it before them all saying, I do not know what you are saying. Say with me, number one. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But again, he denied it with an oath. I do not know the man. Say, number two. It says he denied him with an oath. Now, we don't know exactly what kind of oath, but I'm thinking he might have said something like this. I don't know the man. I swear I don't know the man. I promise I don't know the man. Some of you kids maybe do that when your parents catch you doing something you shouldn't have been doing. And you deny it. And you say, I didn't do that. Mom, I promise I haven't done it. And you're lying. We kind of up the bar to try to convince them that we're really serious, but we're really lying. We want them to believe us. I think that's what Peter was doing here. And then in verse 73, it says, and a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you. And then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. Everybody say, cock-a-doodle-doo. It says, immediately a rooster crowed. Now, just a few hours earlier, Peter was saying, I'll never deny you. And here before the night was over, he denied him not once, but what? Three times. And then to make matters worse, if we look over at Luke 22, verse 60, it says, but Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. This is another version or another account of that experience. Immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. Watch this. Verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. I want to pause for just a moment and let you put yourself in Peter's shoes. How bad Peter must have felt. He probably denied Jesus to avoid death. He was probably full of fear. The pressure got to him. He didn't already have calculated ahead of time, what am I going to say if somebody asked me this question? You know, you hear me preach that all the time. We better have a statement prepared, because we never know when that question may be asked us and our life might be at stake. Are you going to be prepared to say, yes, I know Jesus and I love him with my whole heart, even if our life is in danger? You need to have that prepared ahead of time, because in the instant, if you're not prepared, your flesh may take over and deny Jesus. I think that's what happened here with Peter. But can you imagine denying him, and then Jesus wasn't far away from him. He was in the courtyard. The courtyards weren't very big. He might have been 10, 20 feet from Peter, and Jesus is listening to Peter deny him. I swear I don't know him. And then Jesus just looks at him with blood coming down his face, swollen eyes, bruised lips, looking at him. I'm wondering if that might be the case when we're involved in some sort of a sin, intentional sin. We're seeking pleasure. We know God. It doesn't please God. I wonder if it could be similar to when we're doing that. It's as if we're doing it right in front of the cross while Jesus is hanging on the cross, dying for our sins, the sins we're involved in, and we're doing it as if we don't really care. You know, when we have ministry here at our church and people talk about some of their strongholds and some of their sinful patterns, sometimes I'll bring that picture to their mind to help them the next time. The next time you think about this, get a picture of Jesus on the cross watching you while you're doing that. Are you telling me honestly, without any guilt or shame, that you can carry forward with that, knowing that he's watching you? That was Peter's situation. If you look at Mark chapter 15, there's a few scriptures here that talk about what Peter saw when he looked at Jesus' face and his body. Mark 15, 17 says, and they clothed him with purple, and they twisted a crown of thorns put on his head, and began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews, and they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him. That's what Jesus just went through for Peter's sin. Isaiah 50, verse 6 kind of prophesies about what Jesus went through. It says, Isaiah says, as if it was Jesus speaking, I offered my back to those who beat me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Who in here doesn't like their hair to be pulled? Can you imagine them plucking the hair in his beard out of his face? Isaiah 52 says his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. Listen, when Jesus turned to look at Peter, that's what Peter was looking at. Some of you might be thinking, well, I've never denied him with my words. What about with your works? Titus 1:16 says, they profess to know God. Could be talking about us, right? But in works, they deny him. Maybe not in your words. But what about in your works? You know, actions speak louder than words. What about when we disobey him? That could be a type of denial. When we pursue worldly pleasures, when we willfully sin and enjoy it. Or when we shy away from telling people about Jesus because we might be embarrassed, or we might not want to be ridiculed or made fun of or be rejected. Right? We talk the talk at church, but out in the world, we don't really walk the walk. Those are all ways that we can deny Jesus. Jesus said, but whoever denies me before men, I will deny them before my Father in heaven. That doesn't sound like a good thing to me, does it to you? And so I'm sharing this with you not to bring condemnation on you, but bring awareness that we need to relate to Peter's story, that we're all like Peter. We've all made a declaration, but we've also denied him. And to be careful the next time that we're close to denying him, let's take an account of that and let's make a different decision. That's my third D. My third point is the decision. Peter made a decision when he first followed Jesus. He made a decision when he denied Jesus. And then Jesus gives him an opportunity to make a new decision to right his wrong. This is after the resurrection. Peter is still discouraged and upset about what happened earlier. In John 21, verse 3, we read this. Simon Peter said to them, talking to his friends, hey, I'm going to go fishing. And they said, hey, we're going to go with you. And so they went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night they caught nothing. Remember earlier, I said, remember that phrase. They fished all night and caught nothing. We're seeing it again. You see, before he met Jesus, he fished all night and caught nothing. And then when he met Jesus, he caught a boatload. And then he denies Jesus. And he decides to go fishing for fish again, not for men. It sounds like he's kind of going back to what he used to do before he met Jesus. I know that's not true for any of you. That's kind of like what we think about when we're not close to Jesus, isn't it? We go back to what we knew. We go back to what we're familiar with. And again, the same results. He fished all night and caught nothing. I mean, you can turn your back on Jesus, but usually things don't get better. And I know why we feel like doing that, but things don't get better. Verse 4 says, but when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. They were about 100 yards out. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And they answered him, no. And he said to them, now listen, I think by what he just says now, it was something he said earlier, and they recognized, that sounds like Jesus. He said, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. They remember back in Matthew, they remembered 3 years ago, hey, Jesus said that. And then John recognized that it was Jesus, and he told Peter, hey, that's Jesus. And Jesus jumps in the water and swims to shore. Says they, so they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. One of the thoughts that came to me was this. Jesus did the same miracle now that he did back then. The same miracle. And I got to thinking, I wonder why he did that. Now, I don't know for sure. I'm just speculating. But one idea I had was, is it was a miracle that these boys were familiar with. They had experienced fished all night, caught nothing. But I'm also thinking it might be that it's Jesus' way of giving Peter a second chance to get it right. He did the same miracle. Peter, without me, you're not going to be very successful. And I know you feel bad for what you did, but I'm here to tell you that I still love you and I forgive you, and I'm going to give you a second chance. If you'll follow me and you cast your net on the right side of the boat, if you start living right again, I'm going to bless you. And I can hear Jesus saying that to us today, to me today, to you today. Now, maybe you've never come to Jesus. He would tell you, I love you, I died for you, I'm waiting to have a relationship with you. If you're like Peter, maybe you've come to Jesus, but something's happened, and maybe you've turned away for some reason, or you're not as close with him as you used to be. It might be because of things you've done. It might be because of things he's done. And you got mad at him. And you said, what's the use? And you went back to life the way you used to do it. What he told Peter, I think, is what he would tell you right now. Hey, I still love you. And I'm willing to forgive you. But it's going to require that you make a different decision. Who needed to hear that today? Who needs to hear that? Listen, there's hope with Peter's story for our story. No matter what you've done, it's not too great for God's love. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son to die for us. It says, whoever believes in him, whoever receives him, whoever puts their trust in him shall not perish, shall not stay away, shall not stay separated, but shall receive what? Eternal life. Then if you keep reading, Jesus has a conversation with Peter, and he asked Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Peter, do you really love me? Yes, Lord, I really love you. Peter, you know, three times, Peter, do you love me? Now, one of the commentaries on that little exchange was to get Peter to confess his love in Jesus to cover up for the three denials of knowing Jesus. That makes sense. Make a positive confession, okay? But I'm also thinking this, is that it's Jesus' way of saying, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus is saying, yeah, but I want you to know that. I want you to know, really know, that matter, no matter what you've done, you can still love me and I can still love you because I died for your failures. And I rose again to show you that there's life after your failures, there's life after death. And you have a decision to make, Peter. You can decide to follow me again like you did before or not. And we know that Peter did. Now, before we go there, though, I want to go back to a verse I skipped over intentionally. And it was a verse in between his declaration and his denial. And it's in verse 59. Matthew 26, 59. It says, but Peter followed him at a distance. Could it be that some of us, maybe many of us, are following Jesus at a distance? Somebody says, are you a follower? Yes, I'm a follower. But what if they said, are you following at a distance? Or are you up close and personal like you were when you first met him? We know people that have declared, I love Jesus with my whole heart. And then they go through life and things happen. And if you fast forward through their life, they would say at any point in time, I'm just not as close as I used to be. We all have different reasons to follow him at a distance. And I think that breaks his heart. And maybe you're thinking, well, I'm following it at a distance because I'm no longer worthy to be close. That's a lie from the devil. Or maybe you're following him at a distance because you think he let you down and he doesn't deserve your worship and your relationship. That's a lie from the devil. And I'm sharing this story with you about Peter's life because I think it's true for most of our lives. When you find yourself in a place where you would honestly admit, I'm following him from a distance, Jesus would say, why don't you make a new decision today? Why don't you make a new decision like Peter did? You know, if we go on and read the story, Peter said, I'm going to go fishing. I think he went back to his old way of life. And then they had the conversation, do you love me? Yes. Do you love me? Yes. Do you love me? Yes. If you go back to John 21, if you keep reading through there, after they have that conversation, he tells Peter, Peter, why don't you follow me again? Now, the scripture doesn't say Peter said, okay, Lord, I will. We know he did because he followed Jesus and they kept talking. And we know if you keep reading in the next book of the Bible, the book of Acts, we know that Peter got on fire for the Lord. And instead of denying Jesus, he preached Jesus to the whole world. On one day, it says 3,000 people got saved because of Peter's preaching. because he was full of the Spirit. He was forgiven. He was redeemed. He made a decision to recommit his life to Christ. And what happened after that was much greater than what happened before he messed up. And what if that could be true for you? What if that could be true for me? You're sitting here today going, I don't know, I probably messed up. You know, maybe the rest of my life is going to pan out. Who said? Why can't your story be like Peter's story? Why can't you make a new decision and say, okay, Jesus, I've screwed up. I've messed up. But after hearing Peter's story, I'm not feeling so bad. And yes, I've denied you. Forgive me. And yes, I will say, I'm going to follow you again and filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's finish what you started. I want to finish my race strong. I want the future half of my life, what's left, to be better than what was before today. That can be yours if you want it, but it's going to require a decision. You know, a while ago when I left, I said it's going to require a decision. And so let's just think about what we've heard this morning. Think about Peter's story. You know, at the beginning, Peter was a young adult, maybe early 20s, when Jesus came by his life the first time and he made a decision to follow Jesus. Maybe there's people here today that you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, never. You've never declared with your mouth and believed in your heart that Jesus is God. And God sent his son Jesus to this earth to tell you the good news about how you can have eternal life. And so maybe for some of you here today, this would be a first time decision. I just want to talk to you for just a moment. It's probably not the first time you've heard about Jesus. Probably not the first time you've been to church. And the times before where you've heard about Jesus, maybe in church, maybe away from church, you heard the good news, but you didn't receive it for yourself. In a sense, you denied God's truth about you. And today you have another chance to make a declaration of faith, to say, you know what? It is by faith. There were eyewitnesses that watched Jesus die and be brought back to life. The Bible says that over 500 people physically saw him before he went to heaven. And it was those people, those personal eyewitnesses that wrote about it, that those accounts are now in what we call the Bible. But it's not true because it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible because it was true. And generation to generation has been able to pass that truth from one generation to the next. And here we are 2,000 years down the road, and you're still having the same opportunity they had in the first century to make a declaration with your mouth and say, you know what, I choose to believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and he did on that cross, and he rose again for me, for my sin. So if you would bow your heads for those that have never said this prayer before, or maybe you didn't say it and you meant it, and today for some reason the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart saying, this is for you today. This is for you today. I want to give you a chance. I want to give you a do-over. I want to set you free from the guilt and shame and all the regrets you have for a life you've lived without me. And I'm willing to take all of that from you and wash it away, and you can start brand new today. If that's you, would you say this with me? Jesus, I receive your offer. I confess that I'm a sinner and I've done many wrong things in my life. And I'm asking you today to forgive me of all my sins, to wash my heart clean, to wash my mind clean. And from this day, I'm going to declare with my mouth, I'm no longer going to deny you. I'm going to declare with my mouth that you are Jesus, the Son of God, my Lord and Savior. And from this day forward, I'm going to live my life the way you tell me to. And I'm going to live a life that is going to say thank you for what you've done for me today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, let's give a hand clap to the Lord. You know, we don't have time to have you come forward and pray for you, but if that was you today, would you find a way? I'm going to be out here for another couple of hours. And better than all the hamburgers and better than all the games, what I would love the most is if you prayed that prayer for the first time and you really sense that God heard your prayer, I want you to come up and tell me that. We're going to celebrate together. Amen. Amen. And I'm even going to treat you to lunch.